This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Healthy eating can be a challenge for many college students. Between tight budgets, limited time, and poor habits, it could be hard for them to strike the right dietary balance. For students at North Carolina's historically black colleges and universities, there's another impediment to healthy eating. According to a new study, each of the state's 10 HBCUs is located in areas where fresh fruit and vegetables aren't easy to access within walking distance of the campus. This lack of access can have a long-term negative effect on students' nutrition and overall health. Derek Sauls is the department chair of Public Health and Exercise at St. Augustine's University. He contributed to the study, which was published in the Journal of American College Health this June. Derek, welcome to the State of Things.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure thing. Tell me more about this research. The study covered all 10 of the state's HBCUs, right?
Yes, it did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what happened is we know that neighborhood environments impact health, and so we decided, to formulate a study when we all came together to create, a map to showcase the food environment around HBCUs, because it was interesting because the communities around HBCUs, there were a lot of fast food places and convenience stores.
So, and you used the right GIS systems and kind of mapped that all out, and you could see right there on those maps what's available and what's not, right?
Yes. Basically, the GIS system tells a story visually. And what it was gave us the capabilities of measuring distances from one point to another. And this is what happened. We were able to do this, and we were fortunate to have a young man named John Fay at Duke as our colleague, and he's a GIS specialist. So in the process of putting this all together, he's done a wonderful job of creating the map for the study.
And of course, that's geographical information systems. And you determined from that there were more unfavorable food stores than favorable ones. So now what classifies an establishment as an unfavorable store?
Unfavorable sources where, the foods are basically like McDonald's, Bojangles, Burger King, where, you have a lot of, a lot of carbs and a lot of fats. You may have some protein, but at the same time, they're high in, calorie content. Versus on fresh fruits and vegetables, which give you more fiber, and you have what they call more, the kind type of calories that are better for your glycemic index because it's more nutritional versus, carbohydrate loading. Where if you, for instance, like if you go to the store and, look at, white bread versus wheat bread, where you know the white bread, it becomes a process of, sugar pulsing in your system. Where with the whole wheat, it takes a longer for it to, to contribute to your system. At the same time, even though it does contribute, sugars, it also contributes fiber, which helps your motility in your system.
Right. So, and in terms of location, what do the state's HBCUs have in common? I mean, why were they all affected in the same way?
Because most of the HBCUs are located in the minority, population zones of most cities. And so by being in those areas, what has happened in the past few years, a lot of the big box, grocery stores have pretty much closed up shop and moved, to different areas. And so we ended up in, with that food desert environment, which, led to the caveat of being, for the convenience stores being able to come in. And at the same time they came in, they were able to come in, and say, hey, look, if you can't make it to the grocery store, come on in here. We have, these honey buns, these high, fat content foods that you can basically take care of your nutritional need at that point in time. Basically, you want to, get rid of the craving for something to eat. And so with those convenience stores and also the fast foods, and now with the fast foods, we have a marketing system that's, is tailor-made to just, program, not even adults, but also little children where they like the beige foods, the chicken nuggets, pop up and they say, oh, I want chicken nuggets. Because I had a brother, when he was little, every time he saw the Golden Arches at McDonald's, he had to have, a Happy Meal. So that's what has happened is that, the marketing has gotten to a point where it's overridden. The mind of what is nutritional, what's not nutritional, where people are going basically, for what they see and not really understanding nutritional content of what they're eating.
And is this a problem specific to historically black colleges and universities? I mean, that was your study, but do we know if that's the case in other universities and colleges around the state?
Well, at this point in time, we haven't really studied the predominantly white institutions, in the state, but we eventually plan on doing that. But we do know around a lot of predominantly white institutions, they do have healthier venues which are more costly. So we're also looking at, you know, the cost, where a lot of the students at HBCU, some of them, or most of them, you know, still to this day are first generation college students. So, you know, parents are scrapping together just to get them on the college campus, and they rely on, you know, the food, you know, in the cafeteria. But one of the problems with the cafeteria is that it closes, you know, early in the evening. So when it closes, you know, it's around 7:30, 8 o'clock, student gets hungry in the middle of the night. You know, what do they do here in North Carolina, especially Raleigh? You know, they call Domino's, you know, Papa John's, or they call them Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, so the venues have led to, you know, eating, you know, non-healthy. And we try to develop healthy, a healthy mindset, because, you know, they may graduate with a college education, but we also want them to graduate understanding healthy, habits as far as eating is concerned, so we can prevent or eradicate health disparities in the African-American population.
And not only do on-campus locations eating options close earlier for HBCUs, but you also noted that on some larger campuses around the state, they tend to have food courts that the HBCUs tend not to, and then that offers more options.
Yes, this is very true. You know, that food court option, you know, gives you, you know, do I eat a, you know, the salad, you know, bar, you know, company that's there, or do I go to Sbarro's Pizza, or do I go to Burger King, or do I eat Chinese, you know, things of that nature. So there's more of a venue, you know, in the food court for the students versus at HBCUs. We don't have the population to have those type of venues come in, because it's not profitable to them.
Do you know what, if any, effect COVID-19 has had on a problem that obviously already existed before?
COVID-19 is interesting, because Dr. Helen Vime, who was the lead author on this GIS paper, and also another study that's being done with, you know, bringing in fresh fruits and vegetables from, you know, local vendors to the HBCU campuses. She's also looking at a study of COVID-19, how has it affected, you know, students, and we're in the, you know, process of doing that now. And it's not limited just to HBCUs. We basically have, you know, spanned, you know, the global experience, where we also have some company, you know, countries in Africa that are taking, you know, universities there that are partaking in the study. So we're trying to, you know, gather all this information, you know, how, you know, the students are impacted, you know, going home, and, you know, are they eating healthy, or did you learn anything, things of that nature. So we have questionnaires that have already gone out to address these types of situations. So now we're just waiting for everything to come back so we can, you know, filter the information.
Let's get kind of a bird's eye, a closer view of what's happening at your institution at St. Augs. How large is your cafeteria? What types of food are generally offered there?
We've had a transition in the foods within the past couple of years, where the students were talking about, hey, look, we want more healthier choices. We want to be able to, you know, to visualize and, you know, what's going on with the food, you know, what type of foods we're eating, and also the calories that are there. And then last fall, Dr. Vilma, you know, came on campus. We had four universities that had partaken in, you know, getting fresh fruits and vegetables from local vendors. So we did a pre-test or pre-survey, where we asked the students questions about fruits and vegetables, and then we wait in September. Then we waited till December to do a follow-up, a post, you know, test and a post-survey to see if they really learned about, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and what have been their habits during that time period. So we're in the process of looking at the outcomes of that study. But with the cafeteria, they've changed over just by sitting down and talking with them. They became interested in, you know, trying to understand what's going on.
That's interesting. And earlier you described the difference between favorable and unfavorable food options. But let's talk about the long-term health challenges and risks of not having healthy food available. Talk about those for a moment, will you?
Well, that, you know, not having those healthy foods available means all of a sudden now you start developing a situation where you have, you know, high glucose and high fat, and you're constantly pulsing your body all day. So that leads to, you know, health disparities, where cardiovascular disease and diabetes, because for a long time people thought that, okay, you know, you develop cardiovascular disease and, you know, diabetes at a later age in life, yes, it was true in the past, because people had, you know, didn't have the sedentary lifestyle they have now. But now if you have, you know, people sitting around all day, you know, especially with children, you know, and young adults with PlayStation and on the computer all day or on their cell phone, and all they're doing is consuming all these carbohydrates and, you know, and all these fats, and they're not burning it off, and it just starts building up. It's only a matter of time before, you know, you have the perfect storm for bad health. And so we're trying to get these young people to understand that, hey, you have to get out and exercise. Because one of the beauties of a lot of them universities, they require you take PE. The reason why you have PE is they let you know that your body wellness is important. You know, it's okay to eat, but at the same time, you have to maintain your wellness. And in the African-American population, you know, we're trying to, you know, the STEM to help the health disparities, because it became even more prevalent with COVID-19. They said if you have cardiovascular problems, or if you have diabetes, or if you're unhealthy, or, you know, if you're overweight, you know, you have a higher, you know, predisposition to be affected by COVID-19, not only, you know, getting sick, but at the same time leading to mortality.
I know you're currently working on phase two of the research with a few HBCU cafeterias partnering with fresh food providers, right, and more options for students. What are you surveying and what are you seeing?
Okay, what has happened is that, you know, we're trying to determine, you know, what, how do we, you know, glean the information from the survey. But we have noticed that, you know, the students have, you know, started thinking about what they're eating. And that's the most important thing when they start talking about nutritional value. It's a social behavior. And so in the process of that social behavior, you have to use what they call the trans-theoretical method, where, you know, they have to realize there is a problem and understand that, you know, I do have a problem and now I want to change the problem. And so in the process of doing that, we found that, you know, a lot of people, you know, especially colleges, come from different areas, also different countries. So the cultures are different, you know, the eating, you know, styles are different. At the same time, you know, we have to make sure they understand that with that social behavior of eating, you have to understand your calorie intake. You have to understand that fiber is very important in, you know, what you eat. And you also have to understand that, you know, you don't just eat all day, because, you know, the body doesn't need to eat all day.
Body doesn't like that. We appreciate it. We're going to have to break here, but Derek Sauls is Department Chair of Public Health and Exercise at St. Augustine's University. Derek, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.